Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Welcome to Prosperity for God's People, brought to you by ChristianTraders.com, the Internet's fastest growing Christian investment community, created just for you, the Christian investor.
Everybody's happy.
Striving for excellence in Christian talk radio, excellence in the world financial markets, and most of all, excellence in your personal walk with God.
Broadcasting live
from the CFRN studios in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay, that's better. We now have audio. Today is Wednesday, second day of March, 2011. Okay. This is the most popular hour of public radio in... I'm not even going to say all that again. It sounded good the first time. It's a shame you couldn't hear it. It was totally awesome, but I had the mic off. I had to unplug it because, you don't want to know. Anyway. Of this, I'm sure, today is Wednesday, and it is the second day of March, 2011. Now, normally, we go about an hour and a half. We promise an hour, we go an hour and a half, under-promise, over-deliver, blah, blah, blah. Said all that to say this. I have an appointment today, so we're actually going to cut it short today. I'm just going to immediately go to David in a moment here. And talk to him, and then let Bert talk, and Michael talk, and they were going to be done. It's going to be so quick, you didn't even know what happened. Almost. Bert, thanks so much for typing in no audio, because, boy, I was just sailing along there. I was going to have the greatest hour of private public broadcast radio in history. I've been the only guy that ever heard any of it, so thank you very much for typing that in. I really appreciate that.
I'm your backup, bud.
And those of you who now listen to this after the fact on the podcast, you're going to miss the intro and the commercial and all of it. I guess I could post-production it in, but I probably won't. So, anyway, here's where I was. On the sentiment indicator, on the sentiment chart, okay, we went bullish on Friday, as we know. On President's Day, Sunday night open, we caught the bearish move, and we were bearish all week last week. We shifted into bullish gear on Friday, and we rode that through Sunday night into Monday. And then yesterday, during the live training session, we went bearish. Okay, the indicator did. Sentiment indicator, the sentiment went bearish. It was a sentimental journey. And we came up and tested it this morning, and in the live training room, Bert brought it up, and we were watching it. Said, okay, this is it right here. This is a make or break. Okay, this thing's either going to change again, or this is the spot where we look for the market to roll over, and roll over it did. From this high of 13.1375, we've dropped all the way down to 13.02. Now, Bert, was there any news behind that drop?
I think crude oil. I think we've said this a couple times here. Crude oil seems to be the driver. Crude's up another $2. We pressed $102 a barrel today. The high's been 102.20. And that I think was one of the reasons. But I think, and I encourage everyone to look at the block. I mean, we pointed this out yesterday before the fact. Yesterday was a pretty bearish reversal. And for those people that might be here for the first time, what you are seeing on the screen, now there's the block. And
go to CFRN.net, click on the e-mini blog, click on the daily news feed, and you're there. Okay, and this is, Bert wrote this last night, and you can all go there. And
right.
Today's price action in technical terms is called a key reversal.
Correct. And that's a pretty bearish formation. But those people that are new into the room here, we gave everyone a little clue about the first level. As what Dwayne's got there right now, where you would look to sell or go short. I want the CFRN members, these are the guys that have subscribed to the CFR indicators, they would look at their sentiment indicator tonight for their first clue on where to get short. And that came in at 1311 and a half or 1312. So the point is that if you haven't taken a free trial to the training room, I encourage you to do so, because we're talking about a lot more than what we're talking on public access. And we are talking about markets, we are calling out trades, and we are pointing out some of the things that the non-members don't see all the time. So, I think technically speaking, I think the chart is vulnerable. I think the market could drop a lot further. So we'll see.
Okay. Today's Wednesday. On Tuesday, I'm sorry, on Monday, this was over here. We had dynamic resistance. We were looking for some support. Yesterday, during the broadcast, this was here, wherever it was, and we were waiting for dynamic support to print. And on the blog last night, by the time I got around to posting it, we had finally gotten some dynamic support. And so I labeled it with something horribly clever like, good things come to those who wait. So, and as you can see here, first dynamic support printed just below the 1299 1300 weekly trading zone. It printed at 1297.50. Okay. So the first possible entry, because this candle opened at 1301. So if you took an entry, the first possible entry at 1301, then your risk was back here just below this 1297.50. So you have to make a decision. Am I going to trade off of an hourly chart? Am I comfortable doing that? On an hourly chart where we have some pretty good sized moves, am I comfortable risking that much participate in the trade? That much right there. And that much was, let's see, the open was 1301 minus 1297.50. How did I mess that up? 1301 minus 97.50. Yeah, I'm using a calculator, guys. 3.5 points. So some people are not comfortable with that much risk. It just depends upon, you know, who you are, how you trade. So I'm only pointing it out because that's what was reality. That was the truth of the matter. Okay, not a fictional if, maybe, somehow. That's what it was. Now, that said, if you took that entry and you put your stop right here, right behind the dynamic support that finally printed after waiting for a day and a half, if you put your stop right behind that, then probably right here you got stopped out. If you waited for price to come back and test dynamic support, which sometimes it will do, sometimes it won't, and you put on a couple points of risk, then you were fine and you were able to participate in this move. And that's all based upon whether or not you were even trading on the overnight, on the Globex session. We came down, we tested it. Notice how these candles get smaller, smaller, smaller. Okay, that tells you that this move, okay, it's losing its momentum. When you see candles get progressively smaller, look for a change in direction. Okay, smaller, smaller, smallest, and then boom. And then we come back off the London Open to test that dynamic support. We make a run up to 1304, 1305, and we pull back to test it again. Remember, you've heard me say this a lot, and I'll always say it because I believe it's true. Important areas will almost always be tested. And this is obviously a very important area because it got tested. Now, this is hourly candles. If you looked at a smaller time frame, you'd see it being tested even more. Tested and tested and retested and tested yet again. And then we make the run to the next weekly zone, which is 1309/1310. And then the first hour out of the gate this morning, we put in this formation right here, this candle. Okay? If you haven't studied candlesticks, it's not about a mystical, you know, mumbo-jumbo kind of thing. It's really quite straightforward. They've been around for hundreds of years. Rice traders used them. Go look at you Google it up and look at the history. Read about it yourself on Wikipedia. But this big wick sticking up above the weekly trading zone, even though we have a green body on the candle, that's very bearish. This is simply a graphic representation of investor sentiment during a one-hour period. Okay? You always hear people talking about investor sentiment. Are they bullish? Are they bearish? And they're usually talking about a very large time frame. Quarterly, weekly, monthly, yearly, the decade. This is a graphic representation of investor sentiment in an hour. Okay. Price opened at 1307.5. It ran up all the way to 1313.75. And then it closed the hour at 1308.50, just slightly above where it opened. Now, this would have a more bearish connotation if the body itself were red, but it's green. And, I mean, price ran way up here, and it got rejected. Not only did it get rejected, it got pushed. Now, keep in mind that this was a huge green candle at one point. It looked more like this, except bigger. Okay, it was a big green candle. But before the hour closed, price got pushed all the way back down. That sets the stage for a drop in price. And a drop in price is what we got. Okay, we went from, in the next hour, we opened up just below the zone. We opened at 13. Come on, tooltip. There we go. We opened at 1308.50, two ticks below the zone. Then we pushed up into the zone, and then we dropped all the way down to low of 1301.50. Okay. So over the course of the day, we've been from 13 and change down to 0150. So a nice tradable move on the downside. What did it look like from this perspective? Oh, okay. Here's how it looked on the way up. Pullback entry here. This is on a 10,000 contract chart. Pullback entry here, here, and here. Then we hit the zone. We stall out a little bit. Then we power on through it. One last push. Then everything reverses right here. Right there. And that's where the sell-off starts. Comes down, gets below the zone, pulls back. That's about as good as it gets. And we would have expected it to go all the way down to 1299, 1300. But as of yet, it hasn't made it. Okay. I'm just going to keep an eye on that. Okay, if we pull back down here and bounce, then we're headed back to test this zone. If we break this trend line, then we're coming back down here to test that. Now see here, I was showing you on an hourly chart how these tests looked of that area. This is on a volume chart. Okay. And then here we are in a 30 minute. Some candlestick purists would say that's not really dark cloud cover, but it's close enough for me. Google that dark cloud cover. It's a nice pattern. Watch for it. When you see it, when you find it, it usually will present some type of profit opportunity based on whatever time frame you happen to be trading in. And then on the YM, we had respect of the 105, 110 weekly zone on the move up, and then we dropped right back to the 1230, 1235 zone. And you'll notice here that we traded up through dynamic resistance. So what we're waiting for now is support to print on this chart, and going back to our hourly chart, we're looking for resistance. Okay. Now, if anyone in the room has any questions whatsoever, feel free to type them in. I'm going to bring David on here in just a minute. I want to see if Bert has any comments or Michael has any comments. And then once we talk with David, I'll be in the wind, as they say. Bert, comments, please.
Yes. No, I really don't have any more comments. I think we kind of spelled it
out
for everyone.
Don't just go on and on about what a great job I just did. That's just downright embarrassing. Come on.
What? That was to the point.
I'm teasing.
Oh, I have an order in to buy the beans with David, so.
Okay.
That's it.
All right, I'll hold off on lunch plans then.
All right.
What's up, Michael?
Well, I'm just watching everything that's happening here. The YM, the YM just had a huge move down from your entry earlier on the 6-6.
Yeah, let me get back to that entry.
That entry that you had taken. Okay. We had a huge move down there off of that entry. And if you scroll over to the right a little bit more, we just came down, we went through the last weekly trading zone, and we had a continuation trade down here that just didn't work out on the YM, right there.
This one here?
Yep. That was a continuation trade on the downside, and now it looks to be setting up a trade on the upside. You see we have the resistance printing up above, but we'll have to look at the larger time frame and see what's going on there. And that's pretty much where it is right now. That's where things stand. All right.
that was a really nice down move on that YM. I mean, that thing just...
It was a beautiful down move.
85 down to 35, so 50-point move. Then this move on the ES was, you know, I mean, what's this thing committed to the move down? What's interesting is this, it stopped right here at 1302. And that was not, we didn't have any zones down in that area last week. So maybe David had a number there. Bert, do you have anything at 1302? Anything of significance?
No, we had, yesterday we had a previous. A previous area there, 1301.50. I know David had mentioned 1301.50 yesterday, and actually David actually had a roadmap in play when we were hovering around the sentiment indicator for it to go down 8.5 points. So I'm sure he'll talk about it.
Okay, watch this, and, guys. I'm right there. See, on this pullback here, 1302 held. Then on the sell-off, you know, there was so much momentum coming down. We overshot that 1302, and then we bounced. And so that's just kind of a visual horizontal area of support. This is one that requires no math. There's no calculations. Just a ruler and a number two pencil. You just draw a line across here, and that's what price did. It just bounced off that same area.
Very nice. All right.
All right. Let's see.
Cue the intro.
Cue the intro. I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna create a hot button so I don't have to go through this whole. Maybe we should do a bring your own theme song. We could do that, but I've been meaning to create a button on my desktop, but then I might just end up sitting here playing it all day and never get any work done. So this is probably better. We'll ask him in just a second here when he comes on if he actually went and bought the suit yesterday, because I know he really wanted it. You could even buy the little thing, or they had it in the museum. The little thing that used to make the gun pop out. Derringer.
Good morning, Dwayne. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, David.
Good morning, James.
Bert. Hey, what's going on, David?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good.
I want all of it, Dwayne. I want the little tuxedo. I want the little Derringer thing.
I don't think you can buy the Derringer thing. That's in like some museum or something. But it looked like that suit actually was for sale.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. I'll let you know if I step up. Because I love that. I mean, that would just be an amazing thing to have. I don't know why, and I'm not a collector, but for Wild Wild West, I don't know why, but that show just has more meaning to me and more, I don't know, it just meant a lot to me when I was young, and I've been on the internet and I've seen other people talk about it in the same sort of glowing way, where that it just meant a lot, it did something for them, it memorialized a time of their life that was very wonderful or something. I don't know, it was just an amazing period.
I had a logistical problem. It always bugged me, but I just kind of ignored it. I pushed it to the side. I said, you know, just, you know, don't sweat the small stuff. All right. He officed and lived in a very plush train car, correct?
That's right.
There's a better name for it. It's not a train car. It's a, what's it called?
Railroad car.
Okay.
I don't know what to mean.
All right. How is it he never got whacked by any other trains when he was just sitting around on the tracks?
Because they had a special track for the Secret Service, and the people, the other tracks and the other trains knew to avoid him somehow. I don't know, Dwayne. But get a life. It's the Wild Wild West. I mean, I can do the same thing with Star Trek and Michael Bork, you know?
I mean,
hey now. Make any assumptions there.
Anyway, no, it was a great show. You can't take anything away from it. And you're right. Why didn't he ever get hit by a train? I don't know. Well, how come every time somebody wanted to kill him, instead of just shooting him, they always put him in some contraption that he could get out of? I don't know.
Right.
Like MacGyver.
Like MacGyver. Right, exactly. Like MacGyver. Anyway, okay, I know you're rushed for time, Dwayne, so I respect that. I know you've got things going, and if you want, we can get right started on...
Yeah, we can get started to it. I mean, I mean, we got a good 15, 20 minutes, so you don't have to rush too fast, but I just want to stay on target there.
There's a lot to go over. There's a lot of different things that have happened overnight, and I would actually like to start, if we could, with soybeans today, just real quick. In our weekend report and on your program yesterday, I mentioned that on the Sunday night report and yesterday, we had forecast that March 1st or 2nd would mark a very important bottom, and that the market would advance 36 cents off of that bottom. And yesterday on your program, they had started to firm up, and I was saying if they do, if that is the bottom right there at 1353, that's going to take us up to 1389. Take a look where we're trading right now, 1391, on the May soybeans. So they are reacting off of that upside target right now, and that prompted us to put in a buy order, because in the report we note that although the initial move up to 89...
Hey, David, hang on one second. Bert, can you take the charts and show the beans?
I can.
Okay, I'll send them
your
way.
Just put up a daily chart if you have it.
Yeah, no problem.
That'll make it a little easier.
Oh, and by the way, for those who have an interest, the iPad 2 is moments away from being released.
Well, that is great.
I said the new iPad is moments away from release. Yeah, it's my phone. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Wayne, can you see my screen?
I can, Bert.
Oh, okay.
And a lovely screen you have.
Okay. So it's
looks
soybean.
Good. No, looks good.
All right. Let me delete this guy. And let me go like this. All right. Here's the grain complex. And we're just going to pull up a simple daily chart. This is a daily chart of the May soybeans, and a few things we should point out. This was David's first date.
The March 1st, or
that was actually the 23rd.
Okay, gotcha.
And today, this was yesterday. This is March 1st.
Right. So they shot up off of that. It doesn't look that big on the chart, but it's a pretty decent move. And in for realistic trading, because we weren't 100% sure that the move had gotten underway, you know, realistically you could have gotten 15 or 18 of those cents. That's how I think it could have played out. I think somebody could have taken that forecast and gotten 15 to 18 cents off of it. It did require an overnight position and overnight management of risk, et cetera. But that's there it is. Those are some nice numbers. The soybean market is, I'm just going to repeat it again. Don't discount that market. You could likely make more money in that market than you do in the S&P. Maybe as much as you make in the S&P and the second market you could make in the soybeans, if you're willing to step up, and if you have, you know, if you have the faith to follow a forecast, or you have your own system, or perhaps Dwayne's and Michael's system to trade, you know, however it is that you are comfortable trading. But for me personally, I find that the market moves fast enough that quite often, I mean, this, you can't say this about the S&P. Quite often, if I'm in soybeans, mm-hmm. it moves farther than I would ever allow it to. I make more money by accident in that market than I do by purpose sometimes in other markets. Because I'll say to myself, you know, if let's say I'm in a trade, let's say we're in this particular trade, and let's say we're long from whatever price. The market's up and you've got, you know, 12 cents in the thing. And I'm thinking, you know what, that's not bad. This is how I always think. Oh, you know, that's not bad. 12 cents is decent. That's $600. You know, I'll take my whole position or my partial or whatever off. Mm-hmm. Well, by the time often I get around to just doing that, the market's up another 6 or 7 cents. And then I look like a genius because I've now made 18 cents where I intended to make less. But in the S&P, you always make less than you intended. In the soybeans, I often make more than I intended. And that's why I love the market. It's a friendly market. It's like a big dog. It just wants to give it to you. So, you know, so that's just something for people to remember about this market. It doesn't have necessarily the sex appeal, so to speak, of the S&P and the indexes and the currencies and all that. But I'm not sure that it doesn't move just as good or better than many of those markets, you know, at least on a day-to-day basis. And it is trading at high levels as well. So remember that the higher the market goes, the more volatile in general it is and the better the moves are, because the market is logarithmic by nature, percentage-based. So at $10, a 10% move is $1. At $100, a 10% move is $10. So the market's going to give you 10% moves, but you know, one of them is going to be a $10 move, and one of them, you know, lower market, is going to be a $1 move. So I like to trade in higher-priced indexes or higher-priced stocks just because of that. Anyway, so the forecast for soybeans can leave us in a position to have a larger move than what we just saw. That's the initial move is over. They've had the initial reaction, and believe it or not, we're not outright forecasting this like we did the March 2nd bottom and 36, but we are forecasting that the move could now run to, one moment for what the market's going to do, could run up to $14 or attempt $14.25. So we are, you know, we're of a mind to be a buyer on pullbacks now to at least be there, be in the market for that continued potential run. It's not an outright forecast, but that second leg is a potential for us here, because the cycle that's involved here is it's relatively important, really. It's a pretty big, the March 1st deal is a pretty big thing. So for this market, for this particular market, it's not that March 1st is big for every market. You know, we're dealing with spatial relationships for this specific market. Okay, so good. Well, we have that, and now let's move on from there. You know, a few days ago we had the gold market, which that move is already over, and the gold has really run nicely. The original forecast for gold, if the listeners remember, was for a top to occur on February 24th, and then it turned out that the market inverted, and it was really a bottom on the 25th. We recognized that the 28th, and the market has completed the 1425 target on the upside and further. And originally we had said that, you know, you would want to take some of your positions off at 1425 and then hold the remainder in a trend following manner. I did message to Bert this morning that and I don't remember what the price was, but that gold had already reached another important target for considering taking something off. I don't have the message right in front of me. If you give me just a minute, let me just take a look here.
Said, the next important target for April gold has already been reached, 1435, 1436.
Okay.
Hourly closes above 1435, should be considered profit-taking territory.
Right.
And enter remaining positions held for daily closes, etc.
Right, exactly. So the 1435 level is important. If we close above that today, that actually is bullish. If we close below it, that's short term bearish, but still we're in a very good uptrend. So just keep that in mind for the gold. I've talked about. I'm going to move through these kind of quick here so we can get on to the euro, which is something that both Dwayne and Michael trade. The euro had a date of February 25th, which inverted as well. That means that this market tends to want to go up. Now, we're new to the euro, so, you know, we're not an expert in any of these markets, but I play one on TV. That's funny for people who are at least 50, because never mind. All right. this market would normally go up to or attempt 139.22. So if you are of a mind to be long in the euro, then this would be a market that you would want to, because they are now confirming today certainly is going to close above the 138.05 that we said the market would have trouble closing above. We had 1, 2, 3, 4 days of spiking that and closing below it, and then today they finally got above it. That's a good sign. That's good tricky behavior. I like that, and they busted out today. So this is a market I like the long side for a test or attempt at 139.22 on the upside. This is the March euro.
Hey, David, let me ask you a question. Sure. I know you come from mixed parentage. Was it your mother or father that you told us was Jewish?
My mom is Jewish.
Your mom.
Jewish,
did she always want you to become a doctor? Was that like, isn't that a Jewish mother kind of thing?
It is, but you know, my mom never really pushed me. That's funny. I never really got that push. I actually started out as a musician. You know, I loved the guitar. You know, that's my friend Greg that I showed you his little thing that he did for the Las Vegas show out here. For those of you who want to listen to this guy, now this is not everybody's cup of tea, but this fellow's name is Greg Howe, H-O-W-E. You can see him on the internet, on YouTube, and other places. He's just an insane talent. And it's not your probably not your style of music. It's really kind of a jazz rock fusion thing, and it's very hyper. It's in many cases is not even my type of music, but he has done amazing things in the world of guitar. And I for many years, and I still do. I play guitar. I go home. I have a little studio in my house that I love to play over music. It's just a great release. It's a great second thing to have. If you any of you are musicians, you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, so no, my parents didn't push me on that, and my stepfather, who was a philosophy, PhD in philosophy, and was a big guy over at Cal State Northridge in Northridge, California, he looked down on people who didn't have an education or who weren't going for an education, you know, going to college and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. My problem was that I grew up in a family that had all the faculty and staff over on weekends, and they had all these parties, and it was all wonderful times and everything. But the obnoxiousness of people who know a lot, the obnoxiousness of people who have what they consider to be more than what somebody else does, you know, everybody's a Hitler, you know, seriously. Everybody who you give them a little something and now they just turn into a monster. You know, they gain some knowledge and now they want to crush and kill people with it. And when I say crush and kill, I don't mean they want to go out and burn people in ovens. I mean they want to hurt you somehow with their knowledge. They want to take their knowledge and show you that they have it, that you don't have it, that they earned it and you didn't earn it, and you know, on and on and on. And I just honestly was put off by that, and you know, that maybe that's why I ended up not going to college. It could also be that I barely made it out of high school. Maybe that's why I didn't go to college. They wouldn't accept me, but
well,
I don't
the
know.
The reason I ask
but
about
really there was a psychology there that I didn't like from these people.
The reason I even ask about the whole Jewish mother doctor things because I know that is a thing, and
it is a thing.
I just thought that, you know, with your recent foray into the currencies, the next time you see your mom, you could say, "Hey, mom, I'm a urologist."
Well, there you are. Now you're just see, Dwayne, you're just trying to play up. You're trying to one up me on my great line the other day, which was that if you're not careful and don't use risk control in the currencies market, euro could lose a lot of money.
Yeah.
Euro bank account might go down. You know, you're. That was not bad. It was okay. I'll give you that.
That's ironic.
It was actually pretty good.
There we go. All right. Thank you, Dwayne. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. For those of you who aren't Jewish, aren't skinny Jewish people, if you have something that's giving you a long signal, we believe that there's higher prices likely in the euro. So that's the March euro. Under normal conditions, we're not an expert in this market, but we play one on TV, and we think that there's higher prices coming in that market. It would be nice to see them close above 138.56 today, which happens to just be the high that they made on February 2nd. But either way, there's a likelihood of higher prices based off of the February 25th inversion, and so we'll go on from there.
Okay, one thing I want to mention now, you just talked about was that a specific entry that you were pointing out there? Because we had a listener yesterday who actually bought the silly thing, and when you said buy the silly thing, I forget which silly thing it was, but you had said it in a way that myself and the rest of us that hang out we kind of took it with a grain of salt, but someone who is relatively new, they took it a little more seriously. And so they had just, you know, dropped me an email and said, you know, I was just concerned because, and so what I want to do is I don't want you to stop being lighthearted and having fun. In fact, that's what we do during this hour of public access radio. But let's figure out some kind of, you know, I don't know.
A way to be sure that we don't have somebody mistake.
Yeah, so when it's really... and I know that you often you go to great lengths to say, now this is not an outright forecast.
Right.
You do. Yeah. You're very conscientious about that, and I appreciate that. And so, anyway.
Okay.
Well, I kind of glazed over looking at something else when you just said that.
I lost money on that. And yeah. If he just gives me a P.O. box, I'll put $50 in an envelope and send it to, you know, we're just trading the envelopes back and forth, the $50 envelope thing. We have our own trading that we do.
All that said, what was it that you just said about the euro, where you thought it might go?
Well, just that the euro, if it closed today, you know, I like the tricky behavior that they did in the last three or four days, where they were closing below 138.05, spiking it, but closing below it, and then today they burst through it. I like that. I like that kind of behavior because it's tricky. And I like tricky behavior because it usually means a better move is underway. And I've said that for years on your program, and it's a very important principle in my work in actual trading, not just in forecasting, but in the actual business of being a human being that has to interact with the market and I have to put real money on the line. I like to see that. Now, you may have to buy that. In other words, you may have to pay for that because you might have gotten stopped in or stopped out of a trade based on that tricky behavior. In most cases, that's the case with me. I pay for that. But once that happens, and then the market does what it's doing today, that's a good example of that tricky behavior that usually leads to much more important moves. Now, we have a natural target on the upside of the 139.22 or at or near that level.
Okay.
So with all this behavior, I think that if they did close today above 138.56, then that would be another piece that would help me want to be in the market, stay in the market in my particular case, and hold for higher prices. And this is, again, for anybody that's new, we're forecasting on, you know, with gold and with some of these other markets. These are not our normal markets, but we are working with them so that we can participate on the program. And I'm pretty sure we have gold correct because we've made a number of forecasts on them, including turning points and price targets, price and time targets. The euro, this is our first real forecast for the euro here, but just between you and I, I'm pretty sure I'm right. But we'll see how it plays out over time here.
Okay.
So hope that answers your question. Let's see, what else did we have?
I'll say this on the euro today. It was a really nice move. We have a weekly trading zone at 13.810 slash 15. And it ran right up to the 13.880, 885 weekly zone, which is the next zone above it, and stopped. So that was a beautiful, I don't know, 65 pip move, which in the world of the euro currency, that's a pretty good move.
Mm-hmm. That's a great move. Euro pretty good.
Yep, 60 pips times 1250. Is that right, Michael? 1250, right?
That is right. Yes.
So.
Well, there you go. Now, late yesterday in the S&P, we had an interesting scenario because, as I talked about on the program yesterday, based on our way of looking at the market, it had gotten into an unusual position, which would, and again, force the market to a specific price because of that position, because of the nature of spatial relationships. And let me get up the chart that would bring me to yesterday. So we had if the market broke below 13.11 late yesterday, it would force the market down to 1301. And the market did break the 13.11 and then spent the rest of the time just very a little quieter in doing so, but it still got down there and closed the day right at 1301 on the close. Now, this is a really, for people who are technically inclined, this is a really good example of the three dimensions that work in the market get into a position where one of the dimensions, in this particular case price, is forced by the other two to make up the deficit that the other two have created. And price, in order to make that deficit up, had to go to 1301. And they made that deficit earlier in the day. So you can see it's unusual. It sounds unusual to talk like that, but a lot of your listeners have listened to me for a long time, and now they just tune me out. No. Now, you know, they're used to it.
Well, no, so, one of the listeners had a question. Did somebody already give you that? It sounds like you answered the question already.
I don't know. I'm just...
It says, David, what do you mean by an unusual position?
Well, that the three-dimensionality of the market gets into a position, all three dimensions are in a position that is not, roughly speaking, normal. And in doing so, that sets up a really good scenario, because the principle that's at work means that they're going to fix that deficit, that problem, the three dimensions. The principle states that they're going to solve that problem. And the way they solve it is by, in this particular case, solving it with one of the dimensions making up the deficit. And that dimension was price.
Okay.
Now, price, I've said this before, price actually isn't a dimension, but the thing that price moves through is. And that's mathematical space. You know, to go from 1311 down to 1301, you move through space. So it's actually, that's the dimension. Price is not the dimension itself. But for lack of, you know, just for practical speaking, think of price as being the dimension. So yesterday, by what they did yesterday, they had set up a situation where in order for the three dimensions to return to normal behavior, they weren't going to share the responsibility, so to speak, that one of those dimensions was going to take the brunt of it, and that's price. And that's why I could say to you yesterday that if they break 1311, they have to go, it doesn't matter what your support and resistance levels are at that point. Doesn't matter if there's a support at 1305 or 1304, it doesn't matter. They're going to go to 1301 because they're fixing something that's bigger than support or resistance. They're going to go through numbers and go complete 1301 because that solves, that relieves the, so to speak, the deficit that was created in the other two dimensions. So that's why a forecast like that can be made. And it can be made on any time frame, but in this particular case, the damage, so to speak, was done on a particular time frame. In other words, the deficit was created, the three-dimensionality got into an unusual position, and that's why I was saying to people, you know, just whatever you have, if you have something that tells you to go short here, then go short and hold for 1301. And that's a good example of that principle at work. Now, even people that don't, it doesn't matter, even if you don't have the understanding of that, you can still trade based off of indicators and still make most of the same money that you would make. This is the difference, is that you can forecast it. If you're a good trader, you can do it. But the difference here is that we're forecasting that the market's in these unusual positions, and that gets me excited, like I said yesterday, to be in, you know, for a fast move. It took a little bit longer, but that's okay. It took a little bit longer than it normally would, but it did get down, it did complete it. And you can see that even though the overnight went down to 96, which is a support level in our panel, you'll notice that today we're still above 1301. In today's session, we also had, so we're done with yesterday. Today's session we also had, and this coincided with Dwayne's work, we had a hourly roadmap today that said that today's second hour should touch, well, first of all, early in the session we said the second hour under normal conditions, we're probably going to expect 1301 in the second hour. And then when the market rallied up to 1313, we had said, we had an hourly roadmap that said if the market fails at 1313, it's going to decline at least down to 1305. And so it did fail at 1313. It did decline down to 1305, and in the second hour went down and touched 1301.
1301.50.
So,
yeah.
1301.50. Yeah. So the market, this is what good volatility does for you. It allows you to take these kinds of trades and to or these types of indications and trade. There's more money to be made in the market when you have better volatility. And so we certainly have better volatility over the last several days in the market here. So, and then finally, I do want to say that having gotten those out of the way, that there, let me just think here, there is the possibility of another roadmap today in today's, what looks like maybe today's fifth hour. We don't have it all worked out just yet. But, you know, any day that we have two roadmaps in the market in one day, that's a day that you have decent volatility.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty happy about that. The markets are moving, you know. The S&P is starting to trade better. Some of the magic is coming back, at least recently here. And there's gold in them, you know. There's money in them markets.
Well, there's gold, and then there's swings when there's swings.
When there's swings, that's right. So that's what we've got going. I think we were going to have a forecast today for you on crude, but I actually I'm going to wait on that.
Karnak says crude is going over $100 a barrel. Please. Oh my goodness, crude is over $100 a barrel.
Yeah, crude is up over $100 a barrel.
Wow. Bert.
Yes.
I mean, we know Gaddafi, we know Mideast tension. Anything else driving the price of crude at all? Anything newsworthy?
I think we had a drop in inventory today.
But not much.
No, I know, but it's all the Middle East stuff. That's all. If you wanna throw in weakness in the dollar, you could throw that in there. But I think the uncertainty there is just the driving force.
Yeah, it's not quite as uncertain as you might expect, because if you took any newspaper starting from today and went back in time and just looked at the headlines for what's happening in the Middle East, it doesn't matter what date you select and how far you go back,
right,
it'll always say the same thing.
Yeah.
There's fighting in the Mideast.
Yeah. It is written.
I mean, it just never changes.
Yeah. Now, that headline was written 1,000 years ago.
5,000 years ago.
Yeah. That's true. You know, 5,000 years ago, that headline was written and it hasn't changed.
You know, you're going to find, and I really think we're going to all find this, if you have any, because I've told you this before, I had for many years, we don't have to go into this right now, but I had some prejudices. I mean, I really did. I had some prejudices against the young blacks that were out with the hip-hop. I couldn't stand that, and I had a really bad time with that.
Mm-hmm.
Just a sec, I'm taking a shower here.
Yeah, I hear that.
Okay, there we go. I just wanted to clean that off. and I got over that because, you know, that's just, it's ignorant is what
sure.
it is. It's just plain ignorant. You know, if I don't want to like those people, I want to not like them based on their behavior, obviously, not on their color. But back then, I thought differently, and I was just tired of seeing it, and it just, you know, I was just angry about it. And then I've had some of those same feelings, to be honest with you, about some of the people in the Middle East, because they're so, they seem so ready to kill, and life is so cheap and all that stuff.
Right.
But the reality is, I have found that many of these people, I mean, by many, I mean a lot of those people, are really wonderful people under regimes that are extremely oppressive. Under religious idolatry and under, or whatever the word is when you're oppressed religiously,
mm-hmm.
and you have to, you know,
right.
the women with the burqas and the whole thing.
Yeah.
The majority of those people, they're wonderful people. Look at some of the people in Egypt. Look at how wonderfully they handled the Mubarak thing, even after their great disappointment. They're standing in the streets there. They didn't riot and burn much down. I mean, here's a whole mass of people, probably the first time in history. You know, these are people who are, for the most part, wonderful, in-depth human beings that are under really bad situations, much worse in many cases than we know about. And people like Mubarak and Gaddafi and all these other people are just dictators. They're just running these people's lives, dictating how they're going to live. But for the most part, they're really not, they don't want to run around hating and killing people, but they're under the regimes of people who are trying to protect their regimes, try to protect their power, and that's where a lot of these wars come from. And then they raise people to be that way as best as they can, to hate the other people, and that's these people. It's really, in a sense, it's a small number of people who are in power controlling a larger number of people, this is just my opinion, and trying to raise those people to be their army against their enemy.
Yeah, and that, and
so
that cultural
they can
influence,
stay in power.
That cultural influence is such a powerful thing.
It is. It's a very powerful thing.
I grew up in a small town in Georgia, the deep south, about as deep as you can go. And everything you ever read or saw in a Tennessee Williams play, it's all real times more than you can imagine if you haven't lived there. It's mm-hmm. every ugly thing it possibly could be. But yet, and my family, my parents, not so much my dad or even my mom, but my grandparents, really, I mean, nicest people in the world. Kind, gentle, give you the shirt off their back, but prejudiced not out of a sense of a mean spirit, but out of a sense that that's just how it was.
Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good distinction. It's not a mean-spirited prejudice. It's just, you know, that's just how they are.
That's how it is.
But I've really come to understand that these people are under a very powerful set of conditions, a very dangerous and very powerful set of conditions, where their leaders, their dictators, are going to build an army out of those people to help them stay in power. And they're going to, every child that gets born, they're going to inoculate them with the whole disease of hate and all that. And so you end up with a whole country that's run by a relatively small number of people that are using a large number of people to keep them in power.
Now,
and those people are finally revolting. Those people are finally revolting and saying, we've had enough of this crap. We've been on the internet. We see what real living is all about. And we've had enough of your stupid, you know, tin pot religion and your stupid you know, rules and regulations for how we live our life. And I think George Bush had it right. Freedom is given to you by God. That's a God-given thing. And these people take that away from people for their own benefits, obviously, and try to rule them and turn them into their armies and all this other stuff. It got old. It's getting old over there. And I think one of the best things you can do, because obviously people like Al-Qaeda and others, they don't care about killing themselves. That, you can't kill them and make them angry. But you really can bother them by taking their side of the world and turning it into a bunch of democracies. That'll get them. That'll piss them off.
Yeah, it will.
I'll tell you what, if anything is gonna, that will.
I've got a dash, but let me I want to leave everybody with this thought to think about. This
I know. You heard me starting to get wound up here, and you know, this is another 20 minutes.
Williams
is on.
Snatch
that
soapbox out from under him. I remember when the desegregation came along in the schools and lunch counters and water fountains and bathrooms. Bathrooms were a big one, okay? And this is how close to home it was for me. And then you can think about this snippet from my personal life and apply it to the bigger picture. But when they desegregated everything, including the bathrooms, my mother, some 10, 15 years later, and I'm just being honest here, guys, and this is part of why I don't live there anymore, because the small-mindedness, I just couldn't bear it. My mother still had an issue with going into a bathroom after a person of color. There, I just said it. I just said it on the radio. That's my life, okay? Thank God I got away from that. But here's what makes this story really, really interesting. Okay? Before there was any of all this desegregation, even though my family, we were working poor, we had a maid. That's probably not a politically correct term anymore to even say that you have a maid, but we had a maid. And yes, our maid was a person of color. Guess where our maid went to the bathroom? Guess where our maid got a drink of water? So somehow, in our twisted way of thinking, or their twisted way of thinking, it was okay in the house, in our house. Our maid could go to the bathroom in our house, the same bathroom that we used, but go down the street to Woolworth's, we got to have separate water fountains, separate lunch counters, and separate bathrooms.
There you are.
I was listening to a discussion the other day on some show on public radio, and the guy talked about some of the greatest leaders in this country who were political opponents of segregation. That, because I never thought about this in the light of my own life until he brought this out. You know, people like George Wallace. Anybody remember George Wallace? Okay.
I do.
He had a maid. Guess where she went to the bathroom? But yet, that's how insidious this whole thing is, that the very thing you're talking about, David, that these people want to kill each other, and it's almost instinctual. It's just, it's bred into them. And they don't mean no harm.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
I want to kill you, but I don't mean no harm.
Yeah, exactly. Well, all right, listen, I didn't want to go too far on that subject, but it just popped up.
I went over the edge, because that's who I am.
That's right.
Right.
I know.
Right,
you're a radical.
Go.
Okay, listen, I know you have to go. We'll have more tomorrow, and if anybody wants to sign up with for our free nightly report or take Messenger Pro, they can come to pagetrader.com and take a look for themselves. And, Dwayne, I'll be here tomorrow with you. And,
adios.
You know I don't come out unless the Wild Wild West song plays.
It'll
so
be here, man.
Keep that in mind.
It'll be here. I'm gonna create a hot button on my desktop. Put it on my toolbar.
All right. Thanks very much. I appreciate the listeners. Thank you.
All right, guys. All right, guys. Bye-bye. I got to run. Michael, thanks so much. You've been pretty quiet today.
Right.
But
no problem. Yes, I've been quiet, but I'm here.
Bert, thank you, sir. Any parting comments from anyone about anything?
No. Nope. A lot has been said.
Okay.
It's all good.
And by the way, guys, you know, I can't help where I was born and who my peeps are, you know. But I just knew that it wasn't who I wanted to be. And at 17, I moved away, and I've never, and that very thing has been a large part of why I never moved back home. And today's the one day my mom's probably listened to the podcast or listened to the live broadcast, and I'd be getting a phone call. Well, son, why did you talk about me like, Mom, I meant no harm if you're listening. It's just the way it is, the way it was. I know it's not the way it is. It's really not the way it is, but yet it still is just a little bit. You know, as much as people want to cover it up and play nice and make nice and say, oh, we're not like that anymore. Yeah, they kind of are, you know, just a little bit. So, anyway. I don't know how we even get it. Oh, David. Thank you, David, for getting us off on that. Okay, if you look here at my chart real quick before I go, this is the hourly chart. We're now waiting for dynamic resistance to print. Remember we were waiting a day and a half for support? Guys, look at this, the support. And look at this move. Okay? Now, this isn't just an occasional happenstance kind of a thing. We look at this hourly chart every day, and we watch price go from support to resistance. Then there's the occasion that trades through resistance, takes off, comes back, catches support. But we go through this every day, and every day we see tradable opportunities. Not saying you need to trade it off the hourly chart, that you can go to smaller time frames, reduce your risk, put on your trades. But no matter how many times you bought $1,297.50 over the last 12 hours, or however long it's been, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, yeah, over the last 14 hours, you did good, okay, with very little risk. I dare say that once we find resistance up here, there will be more tradable opportunities. So I just invite you to, if you've never taken a free trial, go to cfrn.net/apply. Take advantage of the free trial. If you're already a partner and you have access to the indicators, if you have any questions on utilizing them, time frames, shoot Michael an email, tech@cfrn.net. Or call Bert toll free, 866-928-3310. Thanks again for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Pastor Dwayne Reeves, and his guests. This information should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed security broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions. You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.